this here particular verse that I was looking at tonight in Proverbs chapter 14, it says that there's a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I was thinking, you know, even high in Lisa's life, the devil comes along as an angel of light, as if he's trying to do you a favour, as if he's trying to help you out in some way through yoga and mindfulness and so on. And that there's certain areas like that where they're seemingly a good thing. It looks like they're helping you out in some way, but it opens a door to a whole new area of life that you really don't want to go down. So there is a way that seems right on the Amman. And as I was thinking about this here today, you know, there's a phrase that we hear quite a lot in these days, and it's your truth. You have your truth and I have my truth. You do you, the self-love and the self-care. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't look after yourself, you shouldn't keep yourself fit, and that you shouldn't, you know, look after yourself physically and spiritually, of course, where the Word of God is concerned. But, you know, whenever it's talking about your truth, there can only be one truth. There can't be your truth and my truth. I can't have a truth that's mine and you have a truth that's yours, the clashes. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the other verse that I was going to read out tonight, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And although there is a way that seems right, because men have their idea on how to get to heaven, they have their idea on how they can be forgiven and they can be saved. And, you know, the Bible says that God's ways, that our ways aren't God's ways, and that God's ways aren't our ways. And although things might seem logical, at times it might seem reasonable that if you're a good person, if you, you know, go to church, if you live a good, upstanding, a moral life, you know, all those things might seem good and they might seem the right way, but they're not biblical. Because, you know, as terrible as it sounds, but hell is full of good people. It's full of odd people. It's full of people who thought that their sins were forgiven by trusting in a religion. And some of man's ways on how they think that they're going to get to heaven is through religion, is through trying to live a good moral life, is through maybe giving money, through riches. And all those things, whenever we pass from this life to the next, are going to mean absolutely nothing. Because those are man's way on how to get to heaven. And you know, whenever you hear, even where religion is concerned, everybody's right. They're like football teams. Everybody's got what their religion is right and their religion is right. And even when we look at religion, you know, people might say, I've spoke to people at the doors and have said that, you know, well, there's thousands of beliefs, there's thousands of ways on how to get to heaven. And really, there's only two. There are those who believe that they need a saviour, and there are those that believe that they can save themselves. Now, if you believe that you can save yourself, any religion will do, because they're all the same in that aspect. But if you believe that you need a saviour, there's only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this idea that you have your truth and I have my truth, you know, it's all right if you're talking about how you cook your breakfast, you know, how you prefer your eggs, how you prefer your cream egg. Used to be that TV advert, how do you prefer yours, and had all the silly ways about how people add their cream eggs. We're not talking about cream eggs, talking about eternity, talking about literally life and death. And that verse that I just quoted, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father in heaven but by me. You know, one day, each and every one of us are going to stand before God. And I remember speaking to a woman at the doors one time, and she answered the door, and she was friendly, seemed like a nice lady. And she said, oh, my brother is a pastor. And she said that her neighbour was a Christian and that she went to church, and said her neighbour wasn't a very good Christian, who she did, but she said that she went to church and she was relying on those things on getting her to heaven. And I simply asked her, I said, do you think when you stand before God and you say that your brother was a pastor, that you went to church, that your neighbour was a Christian, do you think that's enough to get you in? You know, because God says that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Doesn't matter whether you go to church, whether you're a good person or a bad person. What matters is whether you've come in through the door God's way. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door, and by me, if any man shall enter in, that he shall be saved. So those two things that we're going to say on that day when we stand before God will either be that you've accepted Christ as your Saviour or rejected Christ as your Saviour. I remember speaking to a man just a few weeks before he died. It was my very last conversation with him. A man that I'd been witnessing to for a long time. And he was struggling. He was reading the Bible. He was trying to come to terms with the gospel. And he was reading that much where he was almost getting himself mixed up. And I said to him, listen, salvation is very, very simple. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross to pay for your sin and to pay for my sin. And when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you how much you knew about Revelation. He's not going to ask you how many Bible verses that you knew. He's going to simply ask you, what have you done with my son, which is called Christ? And I said that you'll answer either one of two ways. You'll say, I've accepted him as my Lord and personal Saviour, or I've rejected him. And you'll hear one of two answers. You'll hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, if you've accepted him as your Saviour. But if you've rejected him, you'll hear the saddest verse in the whole Bible. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, for I never knew you. What a terrible thing to hear. And on that day, that judgment will be final. There's no going back from that once those words are spoken. And for those that end up in that position, the torment will be where they'll say, I didn't have to be here. You ever do something silly and you say to yourself, when did I do that? I was so senseless, so avoidable. Imagine that magnified a millionfold. Waking up in a terrible hell, knowing I didn't have to be here. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin, that I could escape this. That is torment. That's what the Bible talks about, wailing and gnashing of teeth. But, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And no one is beyond God's call of salvation. Just like Lisa here, didn't grow up in a Christian home. Didn't grow up in a Christian home myself. And no one is beyond God's reach. God can reach into the very heart of any sinner and save them to the uttermost. If God's speaking to you tonight, it's not too late. If you're thinking about it, make sure. You know, you might say to yourself, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Maybe you've made a profession when you're younger. And I've said to my own children many times when they were younger, if you're not sure, make sure. If you're not sure that you've accepted Christ as your Saviour, talk to someone tonight after the meeting, and I'm sure someone that goes to church here that they can lead you to the Saviour and tell you how you can get your sins forgiven.